Hebrews chapter 11. And let's stand together, please, as we honor the Word of God. Again, the first three verses for our scripture reading. I'll read these three verses, and I'll pray, and then I'll preach. Here's what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for this another wonderful opportunity you've given us to come to this place, open the Word of God together and study it. And I pray, Father, first of all, if there's anybody here that isn't sure that they're saved, tonight would be the night that they decide to receive Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you, if there is one here like that tonight, you'd speak to them in a special way. Show them their sin, show them the Savior, show them the price that was paid for their salvation. Help them receive Christ tonight. And then I pray for us that are Christians already. Father, I pray that you'd use tonight's service to make us more like Jesus, that you would strengthen our faith, and that we would exhibit it more, we'd exercise it more. Just bless the remainder of the service. Again, help us to uplift Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. It tells us in those first couple, three verses what faith is. Bev and I were talking about it a minute ago. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It also tells us that we need faith to obtain a good report from God. In fact, down there in verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then after those first three verses, the chapter goes into the Hall of Fame of faith. It lists different people, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, whose lives were marked by an extraordinary faith. And we won't take the time to read any of the other verses tonight. I'll just go down the list of names that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Starts out with Abel, and then Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. All mentioned at least by name. Some of their stories are told. Others, the writer of Hebrews, and we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews, says, time doesn't tell. Let me do anything but mention the name of Gideon and Barak and Samson and the rest. But again, these were men and women of great faith. We know their names. Most of their stories are familiar to us, and they all serve as examples of what it is to have faith. Early Monday morning, I got up at a time nobody should get up, but in order to catch an airplane, I got up at that time. And on the flight from Detroit to Dallas, I got on the plane, and in the seat next to me was a young teenage girl. She must have been 18 or 19 years old, and she was reading a book. And the name of that book was What is Faith? What is Faith? And so I sat down beside her. She was already engrossed in her book, and I didn't even get to say hello to her. And we took off, and I had a couple of things that I needed to get done before we got to Dallas, work kind of things. And so I took those out and started working on them. And 20 or 25 minutes into the flight, after the pilot had leveled off and the stewardess had come and started to serve the orange juice and whatever people wanted to drink, I took my Bible out and started to read my Bible, as I usually do when I travel. I use that opportunity to read. And the stewardess came and gave her a Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, and I drink orange juice that early in the morning. And for breakfast, they had a snack mix. I don't know why Northwest has decided they don't serve peanuts anymore. I like peanuts. They got this snack mix. I eat it when there's nothing else, but I don't like it. I don't know why they think they got to change things, but they had a snack mix, and so I was finishing up my breakfast, that snack mix, and this young lady looked over at me and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Well, sure." She says, "Can you tell me what faith is?" I said, "Well, what does your book say it is? You're reading a book, What is Faith?" I said, I'm not familiar with that book, but I assume that the author of the book is going to answer the question that's on the title, or on the cover, What is Faith? What does your book say? She says, "Well, I don't know. I'm 3/4 of the way through the book, and I still can't answer the question, What is faith? And I saw you reading your Bible, and I was wondering if you could answer the question and help me understand what faith is." And so I says to her, I said, "Well, I need to ask you a couple questions before I know how to answer the question that you asked me." I said, "Do you read your Bible much, or do you go to a church where the Bible's read?" And she says, "Well, the answer to those two questions would be no and no. When I was 3 or 4 years old, my mom and dad divorced. My mom and I moved to Texas, and I haven't been to church or read the Bible since I was 4 years old. And I don't remember much of that." Then I asked her, "Well, let me ask you another question. Why are you reading a book? What is faith? If you don't go to church and if you don't read your Bible, why are you reading this book?" She says, "Well, I came up to Detroit to say goodbye to my boyfriend. He's in the National Guard. He's being shipped out. He doesn't know where, but we think he's probably going to Iraq. And on Friday," this was Monday morning, she says, "on Friday, I said goodbye to him. And the last words that he said to me were, 'Keep the faith. Keep the faith.'" And I figured out, she said, "I don't know what he meant by that, keep the faith. Because I have no idea what faith is." And so I saw this book in one of the stores there at the airport, and I bought it, thinking that it could help me understand what he asked me to do by keeping the faith. Now, if one of you were to ask me that question, "What is faith?" One of you that come to church, one of you that read the Bible, I would use the Bible as a reference point and answer that question. I would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I would tell you, like I did in the beginning of my message, that it's through faith that we obtain a good report with God, that we please Him. And then I would go back to some of the stories in the Bible, like Abraham, like Noah, where men exhibited great faith and used as an example of what faith is. But I couldn't do that with this young lady. She was 19 years old. She hadn't been exposed to the Bible or church since the time that she was 4. And here she was asking the question, "What is faith?" And by the way, if you don't think God was behind that meeting, then you must not think much about God. Things just like that just don't happen by accident. They just don't. I mean, he's behind it. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Be ready at all times to give an answer to man." And so tonight, in just a few minutes, I want to share with you the answer that I shared with her. We spent the next hour and a half talking about it until we landed in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, don't worry, it's not going to take me an hour and a half to tell you tonight. We'll be done in about 15 minutes. But I want to tell you the answer that I gave her to her question, "What is faith?" I said, "Well, let me tell you what faith is. I think it has two components, two parts. Faith is believing God is, and then number two, believing God can." Now, just think about that for a little bit. Again, you're talking to somebody that's 18 years old, hasn't been to church, hasn't been exposed to the Bible for 14 years. What is faith? Faith is believing God is and believing God can. Believing God is, that God does exist, that he's not just some esoterical thought that somebody made up, but that God really does exist. In fact, you go down to verse 6, it says, "But for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." That God exists. That he is the creator. That everything that we see about us in the world just didn't happen. It just didn't result as a result of a big bang like some people would try to get us to believe. But that there was a master designer behind everything that we see about us. That every tree, every flower, every bird, every animal, everything that's in this world was created by God. That God is. And that he's our creator. And that not only is he our creator, but he's our sustainer. He's the one that holds it all together. He's the one that keeps the world from flying apart. He's the one that keeps it going, that keeps the planets in their orbits, that keeps the sun shining and sends us rain when we need it and sends us snow when we need it. He's the one that keeps it all together. God is. And that he's a father. I said, I don't know what you think about your father. You said your parents divorced when you were 3 or 4. And she said, well, I'll just tell you, since the divorce, I haven't seen my dad. He deserted my mom and I, left, and I have not heard one word from him since he left. I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about what kind of dad you'd like to have? I mean, if you could pick a father, if you could pick the characteristics of your father, what would they be? And she says, I've thought about that a lot. If I was going to have a dad, and here's what she said. I wrote it down immediately when I got off the plane because I didn't want to forget it. She said, I'd want a dad that loved me. I'd want a dad that took care of me. I'd want a dad that would protect me. I want a dad that would be interested in what was going on in my life. A dad that I could talk to. A dad that I could get advice from. Boy, I said, boy, I wish you were my daughter. But a dad that I could get advice from and a dad that I could depend on and know that he would always be there. And when she told me that, I looked at her and I said, that's exactly the kind of dad that God is. That's exactly the kind of father that we have in our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to protect us. He is interested in the things that's going on in our life. He wants us to talk to him, and he's approachable 24/7. And by the way, he'll give us advice if we listen from this book, the Bible. And I said, you can always depend on him because he promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. You ask me what faith is. Faith is believing that God is and that he's that father that you haven't had but always wanted, believing that he is. And then I said, number two, faith is believing that God can. And she got a funny look on her face and said, can what? I said, believing that God can do anything that he wants to. That's what faith is. Believing that God can do anything that he wants to. That there's nothing too hard for him to accomplish. That there's nothing that goes beyond his reach. There's nothing that goes beyond his ability to do. And I know some of you were kidding me this morning, but it's not beyond God's reach to let us have 225, 250, 300 people, 600 for that matter. I don't think he'll do it without us working for it. I don't think he'll do it without us inviting people and doing what we can to get them to come. I don't think he'll do it without us praying for them to come. But God's not limited by our limitations. I mean, he can do anything that he wants to do. And she says, well, can you give me some examples of what you're talking about, that God can do anything that he wants to do? And you talk about somebody opening the door and inviting you in. I said, yes, I can. I'll give you three examples. He can save you. You see, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We don't measure up to Christ's perfection. We're all liars. We're all cheaters in some way. And the Bible says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of every single one of them. So I said, I'm a liar. I stand before God just as guilty as the murderer, as the adulterer, as the wickedest sinner that you can think of. And says, I've just met you, but I know that you're a sinner too. And she didn't argue with that fact. I said, that sin separates us from God. God made us to fellowship, be His friend. He made us to be His children, like we talked about. But our sin separates us from Him. And we deserve, because we're sinners, to live the rest of our life apart from our Father, our Heavenly Father. But He loved us. I said, here's a verse that even the little children in our church know by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. She said, I remember that verse. I said, yeah, you had somebody that when you were 3 and 4 year olds teaching you John 3:16. I said, that verse talks about the love of a Heavenly Father who, when we were sinners, decided that we needed a way back to Him. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to take all my sin and all your sin upon Himself and pay for it to make us right with God. I said, let me ask you something. You ask, what is faith? I'll ask you now if you're ready to exercise it. Are you ready to believe that God is and that God can save you? And she said, well, I'd like to think about it a little bit. I said, well, you know, we're on an airplane. It could crash at any time. And by the way, you don't want to say that on an airplane. I mean, there were people in front of us that sort of turned around and I said, no, don't worry, nothing. And so I lowered my voice a little bit and I said, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised that we're going to make it to Dallas-Fort Worth. And the Bible says that if we die before we're saved, that we'll spend eternity apart from God. She said, I'd still like to think about it. I said, okay. Let me tell you another thing that God can do. God can make you into the person that He wants you to be. You see, when He made you, created you, He had a purpose for your life. And some of the things that, just a little bit that I know about you, that you've experienced in your life, your folks' divorce and living without your dad for the past 14, 15 years, I'm sure it must have been a struggle for you and your mom. But all those things God can use to make you into the person that He wants you to be. I mean, the fact that you're reading this book, and I don't know whether it's a good book or a bad book. I've never seen it before. But the fact that we were sitting next to each other today, and the fact that you asked the question, what is faith, and the fact that we've had this opportunity to talk, God can use all of that to make you into the person that He wants you to be. And I said, I'll give you one more thing that God can do. God can use you. God can use you. Here's what I believe. God saw something that needed to be done, and then He made a person to do it. It wasn't that God made you and then said, well, I better look for something for you to do. No, God has something that needed to be done and made you to do it. And I said, when God made you, when God created you, He had a purpose in mind for your life. And He'll use all the experiences in your life, the good and the bad, to mold you into that kind of person that he intended for you to be, and then use you for the purpose that He wants you to fulfill in your life. So all your childhood, all your upbringing, your mom, the fact that you said goodbye to your boyfriend, the fact that we're sitting together this morning, God can use that to prepare you for the job that He's got for you to do. And then I came back because we were just about to land at this point. And I'm giving you the condensed version tonight. I said, you asked me, what is faith? My answer was very simple. Faith is believing that God is and believing that God can. Now again, I'll ask you one more time, would you let God show you how faith works in your life? Would you let Him save you? He can do it. He can do it. And she says, I'd really like to think about it some more. I said, okay, that's fine. And I gave her a track, Brother Chuck, one that I had taken from the rack last week, and I scribbled my phone number on it. Of course, she lives in Dallas, was only up here saying goodbye to her boyfriend. I said, if you decide to take God up on his offer and exercise your faith, just call me. And you can call me Collect and let me know that you have. Now, I'd challenge you tonight to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the names that are in that chapter. And then I challenge you to go back to the Old Testament, book of Genesis, book of Exodus, book of Judges, book of 1st and 2nd Kings. I think if you read those books, you'd read the stories of everybody that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Men and women of great faith. But see if that simple definition doesn't define what they did in their life. They believed that God is, and they believed that God could. And they acted on that belief that God is and that God could. And every single one of them did something great for God because they had faith. Sometimes I think we make our Christianity too complicated. And we took things like faith, we make too difficult for others and even ourselves sometimes to understand. Believing that God is and believing that God can would help us in everything we set out to do in our life for Him, because that's what faith is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity you gave me earlier in the week. Thank you for this opportunity to share it with my folks. And I pray, Father, that again, that you would just take this simple, simple message and remind us how simple faith is. When we were saved, we had a simple childlike faith that said God is and God can. And as we live our Christian life day by day, we need that same simple childlike faith, believing that God is and believing that God can. And so again, I pray tonight, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would put Him to the test. They would believe that He is and believe that He can. And they would trust Him for their eternity tonight. Trust Him to take care of their sins. Trust Him to make them right with You. And then, Father, I pray for for us that are Christians, I pray that every day we believe that You are and that You can. And we'd order our lives accordingly. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit tonight. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.